Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide and Young Hollywood Actors. And today my guest on this podcast is casting director Sarah Isaacson. Sarah is best known for casting Law and Order, True Crime, Bates Motel, Fringe, The Arrangement, Famous in Love, The Mentalist, Motive, Almost Human, and State of Affairs, among many others. She's a member of the Casting Society of America. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. How did you get started as a casting director? Is this something you knew you always wanted to do?
When I was in college, freshman year, I met a fellow actor, classmate John Wellner, who was interning in a casting office in Chicago. And I was so curious about it that I started to intern there a few days a week when I wasn't in classes. And then I found myself not going to classes so I can actually help with running sessions. And I thought, well, that's not very smart of me. So I ultimately asked for a job because I knew that I was learning so much and also going to school at the same time. I thought it was sort of a great way to learn the business. And a few days a week, I worked as an assistant and really fell in love with it and knew from then on that that was the thing that I wanted to do. And even in Chicago, it was just commercials and like PSAs and a couple short films, but I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. And then I ultimately quit school because I wanted to come to LA to get an internship in casting. And then 20 years ago this January, I moved to LA for a pilot season and never looked back.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I can't believe it's been 20 years. But yeah, I was in school for acting and wanted to dance. I was a dancer most of my, you know, throughout high school and college. And but then once I started, you know, casting, I just thought, well, this is awesome, and this is what I want to do. And it was a really, really easy decision to leave school and move to LA.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in school for acting, and then you saw something that you loved even more.
Yeah. Well, I knew very early on that I didn't actually want to be an actor professionally mm-hmm. because I saw what it took to actually do the work of being an actor, and I thought, I don't want to do that. I want to be on the other side of things. And then I also still got to hang out with actors and be around actors and watch them audition. And that was what brought me the most joy, was watching actors act. And I got to do that every day. I'm being on the other side of the camera.
What a cool thing. It's interesting to me always, so many people in this industry that are not actors started out like acting was the gateway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To the thing that was ultimately the right path for them.
Absolutely. And I still get to act every once in a while because I'm reading with actors all the time. And sometimes I find myself like, focus, Sarah, focus. Because I'll get so into a scene with an actor that is so amazing. And I'm like, you're the casting director. You don't need to act with them. Just sort of like, you know, be present. And yeah, so I've been doing this now 20 years.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. So cool, though. Can you describe what you do exactly as a casting director? Because I think this is a very opaque and mysterious and certainly fraught process for a lot of actors. Like, what does a casting director do exactly?
Well, I think it varies based on the kind of project that you're doing, whether it's TV, film, commercials. At the end of the day, I think we're all just looking for the best actor to play every role. But in my world is episodic television, so when I am hired onto a project, I sit with the writer, director, producer, studio, network, and we talk about every role and tone and concept, and together we release a breakdown and we start collecting suggestions from agents and managers. And it's, gosh, how do you even explain, like, you just start. People often say, like, how do you decide who to bring in? You just really start bringing people in and hearing the words out loud, and you think, oh, well, people are hearing or are reading the script this way, and isn't that interesting? We meant for it to be this other way, so maybe writers change the dialogue or we release a new breakdown to figure out what we're really looking for. And then you watch a lot of demos. You read a lot of actors throughout the day. You're constantly on the phone with agents and managers, hearing their ideas and watching self-tapes from all over the world, potentially. Definitely starting, you know, New York, Chicago, Australia. And then slowly but surely, we just put the pieces together. I mean, it's obviously more detailed than that, but that's a broad strokes of it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then the final decision, basically you come up with your sort of dream team for the cast.
Yes.
And who makes the final decision?
So I, of course, always have my favorites and I try to push them onto producers, but collectively in the room or through email, through links of people that have self-taped, we come up with our final choices and then we have to present those at the studio. So if they are in Los Angeles, we'll probably do a screen test with them. Or if, depending on the studio, we'll fly an actor in to do a screen test. And then we present those to the studio to watch. And then the actors that are approved at the studio will then be sent to the network. And then they get approved at the network. But sometimes that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the studio will cut the actors and then we'll have to start all over again. Or sometimes the studios will like someone and then we'll present to the network and the network will say, no, start over again. So there's a lot of people, there are a lot of people involved. But it definitely starts with, you know, an agent or manager submitting you or casting director seeing you in a play and you're not represented, but I remember that actor from that thing that I saw 3 years ago. Which happened. One of the actors I hired on State of Affairs is an actor named Cliff Chamberlain, who I saw in a play at Steppenwolf years ago. And I just thought, well, he is someone that I wanted to find a job for someday, and brought him into audition and got it. I mean, there's so many ways for an actor to be seen by a casting director. I feel like I'm sort of going around about.
You're circling. That's okay.
I'm circling, yeah.
It's good. It's good. This is a circular conversation.
Circular, yeah.
Well, so, all right. So it sounds like you're kind of walking us through the process for casting the series regular roles primarily. So that takes us to my next question, which is actually, what's the difference then between casting a pilot, i.e. the series regular roles, and casting a show that's already filming, i.e. guest stars and co-stars?
Sure.
Right?
Time. I mean, if you typically on a pilot have 6 to 8 weeks to read actors. If I'm casting an episode of something, if I'm lucky, I'll have 4 to 6 days to read the script, put out a breakdown, audition actors, send them to the producers for approval, then the studio, then the network. And that turnaround time can take several days. So often actors will wish they had more time with material, which I totally understand. But if I'm getting a script on a Tuesday and the episode starts shooting on Friday, I may not necessarily know when that role is going to be working. So I have to send out an appointment on Tuesday at 7 p.m. for a Wednesday at 10 a.m. It's not my ideal situation either, but things move so quickly. And it depends on how quickly we get the scripts approved and the breakdown approved by the studio network, the breakdowns get approved, and then how quickly producers can watch the auditions.
What's their schedule?
And then the producers all have to, you know, discuss via email, this is my first choice. Well, this is my first choice. And then we get on a phone call and figure out collectively who to send forward. And then the studio has to watch. So it's very time consuming. So, and also moves very quickly.
That's a great sort of juxtaposition of the two.
Yeah, exactly.
They seem like opposites, but it's the way it works. Do you ever look outside of LA for guest stars and co-stars when you're casting an episode?
It's rare that I get to actually cast a TV show that's shooting in Los Angeles because so much is shooting outside of LA. So, for instance, the last episodic show that I did was shot in Albuquerque, Midnight, Texas.
Cool.
And that was on NBC for a couple of years. And so I would either have sessions in my office or people would self-tape. And depending on where they lived, we were able to travel them because we'd have to be traveling them from somewhere anyway.
Probably anyway.
A lot of self-tapes, a lot of people, I mean, requested, unsolicited self-tapes, I'm probably not going to watch. But if I give your rep an appointment for a self-tape, then I will absolutely watch that. And then often I will hire people off self-tapes.
Well, you probably have to.
Yeah, so many people don't live in Los Angeles, and also people are traveling for work, I get a lot of self-tapes from trailers or from, you know...
hotel rooms.
From hotel rooms. Yeah, exactly. A lot.
iPhone duct taped to the wall.
Yeah. It's true.
I've talked to so many actors. You're like, man, you should have seen my gorilla self-tape setup.
Yeah.
And I know we've done some crazy, crazy things ourselves. So a lot of our listeners are hoping to do both comedy and drama, but they do require different approaches as an actor. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Well, I'm glad I'm not an actor, so I don't have to... So I don't have to think about it. I don't think about it. I honestly don't. I just want an actor to be prepared and be awesome. So whatever they have to do, that's why I want everyone to be in a class. It's why I'm not an acting teacher. It's why everyone should be studying and learning all the, you know, ways to approach material. That's not for me to tell an actor how to do that. I just want you to be prepared. I'm not necessarily off book, but I want you to be confident. I want you to understand the tone of the show. And if you're unclear, you ask.
Hi. With the entertainment industry changing every day, I'm continuing to work to be a source of inspiration and information in your life. As it's been for 5 seasons and over 120 episodes, the Hometown to Hollywood podcast will be there for you. Now, I'm asking you to be there for us. The podcast has been a labor of love for years, and now I'm asking if Hometown to Hollywood's been a friend to you, if it's helped, educated, and inspired you, please become a supporter of the podcast. For only $5 a month, the price of a latte, you can become a friend of the podcast and help me afford to continue to do the work that you've come to depend on for honest, insightful interviews that shed light on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. If you can afford it, pitch in $10 a month and become a good friend of the podcast. Your support helps supplement the people who can only give $5 a month. Join now. Just go to hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. That's hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. And in just 2 clicks, you can have access to the complete version of this incredibly informative conversation, as well as each upcoming episode and the entire collection of over 120 past episodes. If you can't afford $5 a month to subscribe, the first 10 minutes of every episode will still be available for free. Subscribers get the full episodes delivered right to their inbox. Thank you. I appreciate your support, and I can't wait to share the exciting upcoming conversations with you. Meanwhile, if you could use some one-on-one coaching, invest in a video consultation session with me. Just go to hometowntohollywood.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.